Today on the 21st Show, for decades, libraries and museums across the country have gotten federal funding through the Institute of Museum and Library Services. Now, the Trump administration is working to eliminate that agency. We'll talk about how that's affecting libraries and museums here in Illinois. We also want to hear from you at 800-222-9455. Do you think the U.S. government should be in the business of funding museums and libraries? What do you get out of these institutions? And how would cuts or downsizing affect your community? 800-222-9455 is the number. I'm Brian Mackey, and that's all coming up today on The 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. But first, the news from NPR. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For decades, libraries and museums across America have gotten financial support from the federal government. That was administered by an agency called the Institute of Museum and Library Services, or IMLS for short. It's a small agency with only about 70 employees, but the role it plays is significant, as the Institute's Donald DeLauder explained to C-SPAN back in 2010.
We are the principal source of federal funding for libraries and museums. Our main business purpose, if you will, is to make grants. Our single biggest program is the Grants to States program, which is funded through the Library Services and Technology Act, which is our basic funding mechanism. It's about $160 million a year that gets dispersed to the 50 states plus Washington, D.C. and the territories.
The funding has grown since then to more than $266 million. Then, last month, President Donald Trump put out an executive order getting rid of several government agencies, quote, to the maximum extent consistent with applicable law, end quote, and IMLS was on that list. Last week, the agency placed every member of its staff on administrative leave. They had turned in government property, and their email accounts were shut off. As with many of the Trump administration's actions, the effects of IMLS going away would be felt significantly throughout Illinois. So today, for the hour, we're going to try to put the elimination of this agency in perspective. Leslie Bednar is the longtime executive director of the Illinois Heartland Library System, a regional support system for all sorts of libraries throughout central and southern Illinois. Leslie, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Laura Del Rio is director for research, teaching, and learning in library and information services at the Southern Illinois University Edwardsville campus. She's also a humanities librarian and associate professor there. Professor Del Rio, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much.
Nicole Lauco is director of the Millstatt Library in St. Clair County in the Metro East. Nicole, welcome to you.
Thank you for having us.
And Karen Ackerman-Witter is today a freelance writer, but she's played a lot of different roles in Illinois government over the years. Most applicable to our conversation today, she worked for more than a decade as Associate Director of the Illinois State Museum, and she's a past president of the Association of Midwest Museums. Karen, thank you for making the time to be with us.
Thanks, Brian, for doing this program.
Later in the hour, we'll also hear from a student who's been studying to become a librarian and is worried about what all of this means for the field. But for now, you can join us at 800-222-9455. Do you think the government should be in the business of funding libraries and museums? And what do you get out of those institutions? And how do you think cuts or downsizing might affect your community? Let us know, 800-222-9455. All right, Karen, I'm going to start with you. How did IMLS come about?
So IMLS is this tiny independent federal agency that likely many people have never heard of. It was established by Congress in 1996 by merging the previous museum and library programs into this independent agency, and it's the primary source of federal support for museums and libraries. Overall, its purpose is to support and empower museums and libraries through grant-making, research, and policy development. And Museums and libraries are really important to large and small communities as sources of economic development, tourism, education. Collectively, they provide $50 billion in economic impact and many, many jobs. And there's widespread support among the American public for museums and libraries. And so IMLS was really intended to enable museums and libraries to achieve the highest standards of excellence and serve their communities effectively. It's had broad-based bipartisan support. Congress has needed to reauthorize the legislation over the years and has done so under the administrations of President Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama, and even during Trump's first term. Of this $266 million appropriated annually, the lion's share of that actually goes to the libraries. Around $200 million with these grants to states that states then administer to libraries throughout their state, and also competitive grants. On the museum side, the museum services receives around $55 million for multiple highly competitive grant programs for exhibits, educational programs, professional development, collections. And the grants are a very, very rigorous process to get. IMLS also presents a national medal for museum and library services to recognize the most outstanding museums that are having positive impacts on their community. And so IMLS always just stated that they envisioned a nation where individuals and communities have access to museums and libraries to learn from and be inspired by the trusted information, ideas, and stories they contain about our diverse natural and cultural heritage.
Well, let's see if we can bring that down to the local level. I want to actually share a text from one of our listeners. We asked them what they get out of museums and libraries. Terry in Batavia told us, "I'm probably at our local library 3 or 4 times a week. It isn't just books. It's computers and printers and tech help and a place to do research or genealogy. It's fancy cake pans to borrow for a special event. It's events for kids, for adults, for people with special needs. It's an essential part of our community. This country needs good libraries to stay strong. They're both teachers and repositories of knowledge, plus they're fun. Game nights, plays, book sales, magazines, etc." Terry, thank you for that. Nicole, let me ask you how that applies to the Millstatt Library. What does your library provide for your community?
So we're a rural community. We have only a little bit over 4,000 people. And our library is a very vital lifeline for a good portion of that community. Of course, you know, going to the library is a habit that has to be built. But once those habits are there, I mean, you can't keep people out. So a lot of the services we provide are, yeah, there's always our collections, our books, our DVDs, even video games. But we have computers that are used all the time. We've got people that come in for tech help. We also like to say we're ad hoc social workers. A lot of people just come to the library for those social engagements. And, you know, 20 minutes later after a patron's walked in, you get back to your regular work because they needed that to talk to someone. And we provide that. We provide a safe space for kids to come after school, for seniors to meet. We do book clubs and knitting and crochets and other crafting kinds of situations to help people learn and grow in a place that doesn't require them to pay for anything.
Leslie, let's talk about the Heartland Library System. How does that group support the work of libraries like the one in Millstatt, elsewhere in Illinois? Yeah.
Brian, Illinois Heartland Library System is an agency that's funded by the Illinois Secretary of State and the Illinois State Library. We support 520 multi-type libraries in central and southern Illinois. So by multi-type, I mean academic, university, college libraries, public libraries, school libraries, and special libraries. We are there. The services that we provide to our member libraries revolve around resource sharing. So what libraries are known for on the local level, sharing their resources, sharing their talent, sharing their collections, we facilitate that through automation, library automation. That's where you find your catalogs at your public library, and you can place a hold at 2 o'clock in the morning in your pajamas if you wish, And we also facilitate it by providing delivery services that connects patrons from communities across the state, but especially in central and southern Illinois, with the materials they request.
Laura Del Rio, how does IMLS fit into this picture of what we've been talking about?
Well, I work in an academic library, and just so happens that SIUE, our Lovejoy Library, received a pretty big grant from IMLS, just shy of $250,000. We call it the DLCTE grant, the Diverse Librarianship Career and Training Program, career and education training program, and we compete in academic libraries for these grants that IMLS gives out. And so, our project was about working with young people to let them know about library careers. And we just got our letter today from IMLS that the grant was canceled. We received it in 2021, and so we were just coming up on the end here. We actually have an event tomorrow that'll still go on as planned. But we compete for these grants. We belong to a consortium in Illinois called CARLI, the Consortium of Academic and Research Libraries in Illinois. And Carly has received n numerous grants from IMLS. So more recently, they've had a project called Carly Counts, which is a leadership program. So teaching librarians how to assess their services, their spaces, their resources, and then to communicate their value to the public. And they just received another grant last year. So this is just really devastating, honestly, to hear that we can't move forward with a lot of these projects that, I mean, Karen was talking about. This is a rigorous process. I mean, our grant, when we applied for it, they received 127 applications. That was narrowed down to 71, where you had to, submit a complete project. You were invited for a complete grant proposal, and of that original 127 applications, we were one of the 39 that year that got that funding. So that's sort of where I'm seeing it, personally, fit into academic libraries.
It's interesting you describe 250,000 as a significant amount of money, and I'm sure it is for your library. I try to think of what that is. It's like a single cruise missile for the federal government, and probably a cheap one at that.
Yeah, I mean, we also, I mean, like you were just hearing too about how there's funding of IMLS sends funding to state agencies, and they kind of disperse it. And so we also, before this 250,000, we received a very large grant in our eyes of $43,000 to digitize naturalization records, and that was all through Illinois State Library. We had a collection of those materials, and that grant helped us outsource that work so that we could get it done because there were so many to do. But there are real impacts. This work can't happen without this funding. There aren't enough people, there aren't enough dollars in our budgets that are dwindling anyway.
This comes as part of a, and Laura, I'll stick with you for this. This comes as part of a broader sort of set of struggles that libraries and even museums have faced in recent years. And among those have been efforts to ban books or challenge books, as people in the field sometimes say, especially those that share the stories of people who have been historically left out of our society. Laura, can you just talk briefly about how that is affecting libraries?
Yes. So I actually just created with some help from a student worker, created a list of banned books that we don't have in our collection yet, but perhaps we need to purchase and add. So the American Library Association is a really great resource. I encourage anyone to check out what list they've put together to show the most frequently challenged or banned books in libraries. And the thing that I read over and over again, because I actually am a little insulated from this because it doesn't really happen in academic libraries, the challenges and the bans. I experienced it once when I worked in a community college, and But the thing
Well,
that I hear,
the day is young, right? I was reading at least at like some of the military academies, there are books being taken out of the library, for example, but yeah.
yes, yeah, and it I think, if you go and if you haven't looked at the list, I think you might find yourself surprised at the books that they that are challenged and are banned. And so, but yeah, the thing that people say is this is really coming from a small group of people with a really loud microphone. And the thing I want to say too is I'm assuming we have a lot of listeners right now that are big library fans, and I just want to say hi to all of you, and I'm so glad that you're a library fan, and like come along and bring a friend and make them a library fan too. And go to those. I think this is also happening a lot in school libraries. You see a lot of school libraries are dealing with banned or challenged books, and I encourage you to get yourself involved in the school board, or at least show up to these meetings where this is happening, because I don't know if that's representing all of you and what you want your child or yourself to have access to.
All right, let me reintroduce our conversation. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st show. We're talking about how libraries and museums in Illinois are doing and what might be changing for them as the Trump administration aims to dramatically downsize, if not eliminate, a federal agency called the Institute of Museum and Library Services, which provides hundreds of millions of dollars in support to these institutions. We are talking about this with Karen Witter, former associate director of the Illinois State Museum, Professor Laura Del Rio at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, Nicole Lauco, director of the Millstatt Library in the Metro East region of Illinois, and Leslie Bednar, the longtime executive director of the Illinois Heartland Library System. You can join our conversation today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break. You are listening to the 21st Show. Please stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking about how libraries and museums in Illinois are faring given the Trump administration's efforts to take apart a small federal agency called the Institute of Museum and Library Services, which provides hundreds of millions of dollars in support to those institutions. Sometimes, as we heard earlier, just in pretty small denominations for government money, a few tens of thousands of dollars here, a couple hundred thousand dollars there. If you want to join us today, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We're talking about this with Leslie Bednar, longtime executive director of the Illinois Heartland Library System, Laura Del Rio at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, Karen Witter, former associate director of the Illinois State Museum, and Nicole Lauco, director of the Millstatt Library in the Metro East part of the state. Let's go now to the phones, actually. 800-222-9455. Jace is calling from Granite City. Thank you for calling in.
I'll try to keep it short because this I tend to ramble because it is so important to me. But Illinois libraries have made such an impact in my life that I grew up to become a librarian. The funding cuts are concerning because interlibrary loan throughout the state of Illinois is so strong. We have a lot of, rural Illinois libraries here that rely on interlibrary loan to get newer materials for their patrons, and I'm deeply concerned about the fact that that might lessen or be impacted by these funding cuts because people in rural communities deserve to have materials just the same as anybody in a big city.
That's a great point. Thank you so much for calling in, Jace. I appreciate that. And Leslie, let me come to you because Heartland supports this sort of interlibrary activity that Jace was referring to, right?
Correct. Thank you. And thank you for your comments, Jace. The way that resource sharing works on the delivery side in the state of Illinois, and the way that we implement it at our agency, is that we provide delivery to libraries, regardless of their zip code. And those libraries are leveling agents in their communities. They allow patrons to get materials as quick as they would through a commercial service such as Amazon without the price. So that helps save that patron. It helps the library save their collection dollars for other items that they can't otherwise receive through interlibrary loan. It's a really good return on investment. As a matter of fact, in our service area alone, in FY 2024, we calculated that interlibrary loan delivery saves patrons slash public libraries $50 million. So that's $50 million back to taxpayers in general, just with this one service. It's a really efficient service. And I myself have been at on delivery routes in very small communities when we pull up to a library and there are patrons waiting for the van to show there, for the van to be there. And their first question is my book in that box, in that tub that you have? It's pretty heartwarming when we can provide that service so quickly, and it means so much to so many people.
Let's come back to this idea about this broader context of the, book challenges and the difficulties that some libraries have faced. And Nicole, you've been at Milstat through COVID and this latest era of challenges. How have you been navigating all that as a librarian?
Really, I mean, I think in any kind of field, it's day by day. We're very, very lucky in Illinois that, and especially with the Illinois Heartland Library System, that we can connect with other librarians and we can use each other's support to help us get through these difficult times. The Illinois State Library System has been phenomenal as well, keeping us up to date on, well, Illinois Library Association, on different kinds of things that we should be up to date on training. Just like the First Amendment audits have been coming out as well. So the ILA and ALA, the American Library Association, have been keeping us informed, giving us training to do that. IHLS does the same for us as well. So it's really being able to be flexible, be understanding, be patient, and use all of the resources that we have available to us. And if the IMLS funding was not continued, all of those agencies would probably not be able to help us as much as they do now. And that's going to hurt all of our patrons at such a low level on up and vice versa.
Karen, briefly, because there are so many topics we want to hit today, but I wonder if you've seen this sort of broader environment of sort of anti-DEI, anti-wokeness, call it what you will, coming for the world of museums. I mean, just a year or two ago, we were talking about decolonizing museum exhibits here in Illinois. Is there pressure the other way now in terms of displays and what's covered in museums?
Absolutely. And I think it's actually very shocking. The museum world has been going through this process to ensure that museums are accessible to everyone. It's been a priority. And there is a long history of people who were more privileged had more opportunities to go to museums. They were the ones as children who got to go there. And we as a field have been trying to ensure that everybody has the opportunity to experience these cultural institutions. They're the place that tell our history. They talk about our natural environment. And there has been this enormously concerted effort to do programs to make that happen. For example, a project just cut at the Children's Discovery Museum in Normal, Illinois, is for outreach programs to early learners in childcare facilities before they would ever be going to school to learn about STEAM activities and to have those opportunities. And I want to read to you what isn't contained in the letter that from Keith Sonderling, the acting director of IMLS, what they are telling people when they terminate their grants. IMLS has determined that your grant is unfortunately no longer consistent with the agency's priorities and no longer serves the interest of the United States and the IMLS program. These museums have been working tirelessly to serve their communities. And IMLS goes through a rigorous process with peer reviews from museums and panels and on to ensure that what we're doing is serving our communities. And these tiny little grants of $10,000, $20,000, a $25,000 Inspire grant to the Kidzium in Springfield, Illinois, helped jumpstart a STEAM program for second graders in partnership with our school district. And to tell us this does not meet the interest of the United States? Really? And we are under the impression, I've just traveled to museums in Alabama where I was visiting civil rights museums, and information is being taken off of websites, the National Park Service and other places. And this is not the world in which those of us who have dedicated our lives to museums and libraries and cultural institutions believe is where we should be headed as a country.
It's the 21st show. We are talking today about how libraries and museums are responding to the Institute of Museum and Library Services, the federal agency that provides grants, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in support to those institutions. And now it's being taken apart by the Trump administration. Many of these grants have been canceled, and the entire staff was basically put on leave. Their email addresses deactivated. They were told to turn in their government property. 800-222-9455. If you want to join us today, we're talking about this with Karen Witter, a former associate director of the Illinois State Museum, Professor Laura Del Rio from SIU Edwardsville, Nicole Lauco, director of the Millstatt Library in Metro East, and Leslie Bednar, the longtime executive director of the Illinois Heartland Library System. I want to bring another voice into the conversation now. Sarah Peck is a graduate student at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, studying for a master's degree in library and information sciences. Sarah, welcome to the 21st show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How did you decide you wanted to go into the world of libraries?
It goes all the way back to my childhood, which I feel like is a stereotypical thing for a lot of librarians. I grew up with a library that was like a 20-minute walk away from me. There were multiple ones. So I basically grew up in my libraries. I always had a librarian that I would know by first name in the spaces, and that just kind of inspired me to further go into the field.
What kind of library work are you hoping to do?
Right now in my studies and kind of my volunteer and practicum work in my degree, I focus mainly with archiving collections, making sure that histories are being told. But then I also do a lot of teaching work, so especially around information literacy. So helping and making sure people understand like how, where to find information, and also how to review it to make sure that it is trustworthy, the sources that they are finding. Those are kind of the two things that I mainly focus on.
We were talking in earlier on the show about some of the attacks libraries have been undergoing these past few years. How are you thinking about what's been happening on that front?
Yeah, especially overall, I would say that me and a lot of my other classmates, we are worried. This obviously has been a trend that's been happening for a few years with the book bans, everything like that. But now with the cutting of IMLS, we are worried, especially when it comes to the stream of information. Libraries are an essential point in like the information space because of the fact that we give a lot of access to articles and resources that are behind paywalls, and losing that funding means that we're going to be losing those accesses. They give, not necessarily free, it's paid by taxpayer dollars, but imagine having to pay individually articles for the New York Times, subscriptions to Washington Post, all of them together, that adds up so much. when you can get them at the library. So losing that stream of information access is going to definitely affect how people view information.
Yeah, I definitely feel the pain on that as somebody who subscribed to a lot of news outlets. You know, I guess we should just shout out briefly as well. I understand you grabbed a podcasting room in a library for this conversation.
Yes, I did. It's another one of the lots of resources that we have. I am currently in a podcasting room in one of the libraries in my area. Very nice. And it was paid with my school dollars. So technically, it's not necessarily free, but I didn't have to pay extra to be using the equipment.
Right. It's a public good, I guess.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk more about what is happening now. Leslie, from your perspective at the Heartland Library System, what are some of the consequences you're seeing about this dismantling of IMLS?
So we are really hopeful at the Illinois Heartland Library System that the current pause in funding, because I think that's all we could say, is that funding has been paused, that it doesn't carry forward. So the legislation right now, the legislation that currently supports IMLS sunsets on September 30th of this year. So that agency, like many other agencies, has to be reauthorized from time to time. That reauthorization must take place so that IMLS continues to be able to provide the services that it does into the future, October 1st and beyond. We also need there to be funding in the federal budget, in the federal FY26 budget, to support IMLS and all the work that it does. The current legislation was approved during the previous Trump administration. There was a slight cut, I believe, to that funding, but overall, the agency was intact. What's happening now and the environment in Washington, D.C. could have a completely different outcome. So it's really important. And it behooves all of us that are use libraries, that depend on libraries and museum services, to reach out to our federal representatives and let them know how essential these services are at a community level.
I wonder, Nicole, are you hearing from patrons asking about what's happening and what do you tell them if so?
Yeah, I mean, we've already had a couple that come in and say, oh, no, are you going to close? And so that's the thing that I think some people don't understand. A lot of people go to the worst case scenario, and there's a lot of reason to do that. But then it's our job to de-escalate, because we're in a lot of ifs right now. And that's what I'm telling everybody. An if-then kind of situation. If funding is not renewed, if we don't get those monies back going, we could see a lot of changes at our library. Our library is taxpayer supported, so we will remain open, but we'll see a cut in a lot of services because we rely heavily on the Illinois Heartland Library System and all the services they allow us to provide to our patrons. So it's a lot of those conversations, and a lot of people aren't all that excited about what that future could be.
Laura Del Rio, we need to take a break in just about a minute or so, but briefly, do you have a sense of why the Trump administration is looking to make these cuts?
Well, that is the question, right? I don't know. I'm sort of speechless with this, but it just seems like such a small percentage. I mean, of the overall U.S. budget. I mean, what is it, 0.003% of the U.S. budget? And so I'm not sure. We maybe need to get some library fans into that administration. So I'm not sure how many library card holders we have. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
That are in the White House right now. So, but also, yeah, I don't know. You know, IMLS, like libraries too, used to be part of like the Department of Education. So, I mean, this small agency
that's on
that
the way
hearing,
out as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we were, IMLS was like, you know, built out of that. It was, you know, sort of organized there, but, yeah. So clearly.
Well, we can. Sorry. Well, sorry to interrupt you. We need to take a break. Maybe we can speculate a little more after the break. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. This is the 21st Show. Please stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Our subject for the hour is libraries and museums, centers of culture throughout Illinois. We're talking about the dismantling of the federal agency called the Institute of Museum and Library Services and what that could mean for the places that rely on the support, the financial support that agency offers. Lloyd in Danville in our texting group told us libraries and museums are an essential part of American culture and key educational component for all Americans. The administration is doing all it can to keep us from educating ourselves about our complex society. Funds are important because we all need to know each other's history. Knowledge is power for collective and individual identity. We also heard from Anne in Urbana, who said libraries are an important source of information, and I'd hate to see any of them closed, but maybe we don't want government to be involved with them if that means they can control library content. I read the following a day or so ago. She quotes, "Books on the Holocaust, histories of feminism, civil rights and racism, and Maya Angelou's famous autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, were among the nearly 400 volumes removed from the U.S. Naval Academy's library." If you want to join us today, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We're talking with Professor Laura Del Rio at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, Karen Witter, former Associate Director of the Illinois State Museum, Leslie Bednar, the longtime Executive Director of the Illinois Heartland Library System, Nicole Lauco, director of the Millstatt Library in the Metro East part of the state, and Sarah Peck, a grad student in Library and Information Sciences at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Again, if you want to join us, 800-222-9455. Karen, talk about IMLS funding and museums. I guess it's supposed to be set for a few more months, but you know, there, as you mentioned earlier, there are these grants getting canceled, as has happened throughout the federal government. So what are you hearing from museums in Illinois and beyond?
Well, most of the grantees have been concerned because there's nobody to communicate with at IMLS. But it appears that April 8th is the date that these letters have gone out. And I think it's important to emphasize that while libraries have competitive grant programs as well, the big difference between the library part and the museum part is that there are these grants to states, as Leslie was talking about, that the states then administer to libraries. The museums don't have that at all. The museums apply for these competitive grants, Museums for America, National Leadership Grants, 21st Century Museum Professionals, and their reimbursement grants. So what's happening right now is museums with approved contracts in place are getting notification that their grant has been terminated, and they have already incurred expenses because they incur the expenses and then submit for reimbursement. So now they are left on the hook for expenses that they've already incurred with a letter of termination of the date of the letter, and this strange sentence at the end to please remember that your obligations under the grant agreement continue to apply. So museums that I've talked to, both small and large, from the Morton Arboretum to the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, have been wondering what's going to happen, but have not been informed. And yet, as of yesterday, these letters started hitting mailboxes to say that these grants have been terminated. The other thing is that many museums had already submitted their application for the upcoming grants. There were deadlines out there. And so museums like the Kidzium in Springfield had submitted a grant application. No idea what's going to happen with that. But the fact that an institution will have already paid things within their own communities, and then they're not able to get reimbursed because no one's there to do it, and their grants have been terminated, are major concerns to museums.
Leslie, with the Heartland system, is there someone else who can pick up the funding slack if this pause does become something more permanent?
From our perspective, because we are primarily state funded, it could come from the state of Illinois, but I caution that the state of Illinois is anticipating the award of billions of dollars from the federal government. So, how do state legislators make the decision as to which state programs, which programs within the state that have enjoyed IMLS support will now get state support because they also have their own budget. So I think it's really it beyond being an unknown, it is a potentially serious catastrophic situation for some agencies that rely primarily on that funding from IMLS. And for those like ours, we will have to make decisions as to, if there is no funding coming from another agency, how do we continue to provide that level of support to all of our members? And we're here because of all of our members. Two of them are on the show this morning. But how do we continue with that level of service? And that's something that our agency, our board, will be taking a close look at if and when we get to the place where we're informed that support will be reduced somehow, that financial support will be reduced. Also, speaking of Illinois and the Grants of States program, one thing that comes to the Illinois State Library, in addition to the support for delivery service, is support for an organization called OCLC. That's the foundation for shared cataloging services, interlibrary loan worldwide. The state of library, through the Grants to State program, put almost $2 million into the support of OCLC, and we have well over 1,000 libraries in the state that participate in that program. That's, again, that's that foundational piece that allows all of that resource sharing to happen. Additionally, for IHLS, we are the recipient of a grant from the Secretary of State and Illinois State Library that provides training to public library trustees. That grant is intended to and has created a one-stop location for training for public library trustees. All the folks that are on the Coles board, that are on other public library boards, to make sure that they have all the tools at the ready that they need to make the challenging decisions, sometimes challenging decisions, at the community level. So that is a service we provide to libraries across the state. There are hundreds of users right now in the portal, and we like to see it grow. So I tend to focus on the positive. I tend to focus on that we've been here in the past. As you mentioned, my tenure at IHLS is of a longer nature than maybe some in other agencies. But that tenure also allows me to remember that there have been times in the last 20 years or even further where we've faced similar challenges. So we hope that and plan on this funding being restored.
Laura, I saw you wanted to get in there.
Yes, I wanted to come back to your question that you asked me before the break because I thought, well, maybe I'll go back into my team's termination letter from IMLS. And I don't know, Karen, if you read this part or maybe the letter you had didn't have this, but it says IMLS is repurposing its funding allocations in a new direction in furtherance of the president's agenda. And so we can speculate what that means, the president's agenda. So, I read headlines from a variety of news sources, and I don't know if this is the agenda of trying to rid the government of waste. And I would love the opportunity to have that discussion to say, where in our libraries and our museums is there waste? And from this funding from IMLS. So I just wanted to get in there and sort of share that and
No, it's worth noting, definitely. Sarah, let me come back to you because you and your fellow students are the next generation of librarians. But it seems quite possible, depending on to what extent the president is successful in carrying out his agenda here, as we just heard, that being a librarian might not be the same job it would have been 4 years ago or 10 years ago. How are you all thinking about what the future holds for you as you're, you know, moving toward this career path?
Yeah, this is definitely some conversations that we have been having both in and outside of our classes, between each other, talking about how this is going to change. We can kind of already see, since I'm in my second year, I'm starting to kind of start looking at the job market, seeing what's out there. I've seen people who have been actively applying. And even in the past few weeks, there have been less jobs posted or jobs where the processes have been put on hold because the positions, they don't know if they have the grant funding anymore to be able to actually hire the person full time, things like that. I will say that one of the big things with librarians is that we are, I feel like, resilient. So even if the job field does change, we get significantly less support, less funding. Libraries will still be here as long as we can let them. And that's kind of, I feel like, not necessarily the rallying cry, but kind of the thought that a lot of students are having is that we will do the best that we can with the funding that we have for our patrons and for our community.
Nicole Locko, how are you at the Millstadt Library? How are you thinking about, you know, navigating what's ahead?
Really, it's kind of, as I said earlier, it's taking everything day by day. It's really supporting each other within the library field and supporting our patrons. Our goal every day is to do the best we can for our community, and it's going to be continuing to do that no matter what it may look like. We are so lucky to be in a state that usually supports us for what we need to do for all of our people. One of the things I do want to talk about, too, with IMLS funding is that supports continuing education for some of us library directors. So the state of Illinois plus the Illinois Library State Office, they provide what we call Director's University and a Director's University 2.0. And these are incredibly important because it takes your students like Sarah from U of I, it puts them into then really hands-on learning environments that helps us adapt to these changes. So there's another hopefully rollout of these classes coming up, and they're going to be talking about IMLS funding and how we can provide support for each other should those cuts happen.
Leslie, probably last question to you. I understand there are some court fights over this. If you can briefly speak to that.
Yes, I can, as much as I am able. On April 4th, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Rayl joined 20 other attorneys general in a lawsuit against the Trump administration, and that all involves the support, being able to maintain the support that we have enjoyed from IMLS and from other federal agencies as well. So there's no news on that end as far as any action that's been taken. I mean, the case was just filed less than a week ago. But that support, plus the support from bipartisan senators that reached out to the acting director, Sonderling, at IMLS, insisting that the agency adhere to its approved budget and its approved objectives, is as meaningful as the support from citizens. And really, make no mistake, citizens equal voters. Voters get attention with from their legislators. And if a lot of voters are saying, we need you to make sure that this agency continues and is allowed to spend the funding that it has been given or was understood to be given under the FY25 federal budget, that makes a big impact. And nobody likes to hear from somebody who's unhappy with what's going on in Washington, if that's your job to be in Washington and work in that environment. So there is a big role that we can all play, whether you're an attorney general or you're Joe Smith, who just likes his local museum and loves the services that he gets from that museum or that library.
good spot to end. I want to thank you all so much for being with us today. Nicole Lauco is director of the Millstadt Library, which is in the Metro East part of the state. Leslie Bednar, executive director of the Illinois Heartland Library System. Karen Witter, former associate director of the Illinois State Museum. Laura Del Rio at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville. And Sarah Peck, grad student in library and information sciences at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And that is all the time we have for our program today. Thank you for everybody who also sent in text messages and called. If you want to let us know what you think, talk@21stshow.org is our email address. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Harrison Malkin, and Jose Zepeda. Technical direction today from Steve Mork. We are a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.